Hey guys, welcome back. Quick note before we jump into this episode. Audio quality is rough. It took me a long time to edit this episode. My wireless connection was not the best, nor was today's guests at the time of recording. So apologies for that. Certainly will be better in future. Still a great episode nonetheless. Enjoy. I am joined today by Phil Manning of Travel Developer. And I had initially come across Phil on Instagram, actually. One of those funny moments where two people who really don't know each other become known to each other through social media. And so I started following Phil on Instagram, and he was posting all the just the best pictures, super cool stuff, which I'm sure he'll be able to describe for us in more detail.
4 megabyte upload download speed, so should be able to keep it consistent throughout.
Awesome, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, wicked. I kind of just want to start with what you've been up to today, because I know the Maldives. I just called it Maldives, but Maldives.
It is Maldives.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Did I say Maldives? It is Maldives.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you guys are 8 hours ahead of us here in Atlantic time. So you're pretty much at the end of your day, more or less. What did you get up to today?
Yeah, so I've been here for, I've actually been in the Maldives for about 3 weeks, but the past 2 weeks I've been going on a boat every morning and searching for whale sharks as part of this program called the Maldives Whale Shark Research Program. And basically we go and collect data on the various whale sharks that are in this area, in the island of Digora, which is the South Ari Atoll, if anyone listening is looking to come and help out the program. But so basically we spend 8 hours a day just hopping in the little dhoni, which is a local boat here in the Maldives, and we just troll up and down the beach, up and down the coastline, right on the edge of the reef where the whale sharks come up and come to feed and warm up a bit before they dive back down. So I've gotten a lot of sun. I might be a little groggy.
Yeah, no problem. That is super badass, man. Hunting, I think, is the wrong word. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But like,
no, I want to say that too. But no, not hunting at all.
It's like, but you know, like tracking them down in pursuit of sharks, that's super hardcore. Like you say, around the reefs, they come up to feed. So yeah. Is that like, that's a possibility then, that they would eat you if given the chance?
Oh, whale sharks. No, they're,
oh, okay.
They eat algae, plankton, krill, maybe very, very small fish. But basically, they just open their mouths super wide. I mean, the average length in this area is around 7 meters, so they look like they could eat you. And the way the size of their mouths, it looks like they could just swallow you. But they're really just filtering in everything in the water.
Oh, okay.
They just keep all the little plankton algae that comes through and filter the water out their gills. And their stomachs are actually extremely small, like the size of a large grapefruit or something like that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you aren't subjected to their menu. That's good.
Yeah.
And did you said that you were filming for the Discovery Channel?
Yeah. So they were out here the past few days filming some stuff because an iOS app for tagging the whale sharks, which if you know what a whale shark looks like, it's basically got, it looks like a shark body, and then then it has all these spots all throughout its body on its dorsal fin, pectoral fin. So you can actually identify all the sharks just by taking a photo of the area on each side of the shark by the pectoral fins. And then you mark all the spots from the body, and then that just, we run a comparison to the database that we have, and it'll tell you a few sharks, like it'll give a rating about which one your shark probably is.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, Discovery Channel is out here doing a little piece on it. I think it should be live for Shark Week. They're kind of trying to get it in really quick. So hopefully it's airing in a couple of weeks.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, as in, you know, you're going to be on Shark Week, so I have to thank you again for making it onto the podcast. You're soon a celebrity, I think, you know. So I actually have a question as it relates to your business, which I'd like you to sort of tee up for us. But first of all, like you say, you spend 8 hours a day on the boat, at least for the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. How do you find that is impacting your day-to-day business going ons, and how are you managing that?
Yeah, 100%. I actually took this in mind, knowing that this was basically my vacation. I still have a few hours every night, like 3 or 4 hours, to do emails and catch up on some other like small tasks that I have. Like, I still have a few projects in my pipeline. But I kind of got all my work caught up to the moment for this program, and kind of knew it's a 2-week program. So I kind of took that as, okay, this will basically be a vacation, even though I'm working on a side project. But yeah, that would be pretty detrimental to work for 8 hours a day on the boat.
Essentially, your business is a product knowledge-based business, right? So do you find it's relatively easy to set it up in an autopilot kind of mode?
Now that I've been doing this for a few years, yes. It kind of works off of a referral network, and I have a few portfolio pieces that kind of ease of, if I find people that are interested in getting projects built or work done, I find it very easy, if they're in like my niche category, to get those that type of project. But initially, it's pretty difficult.
Awesome. Do you mind now taking a couple minutes to talk about your business, about Travel Developer?
Yeah, sure. So the Travel Developer course I made is basically just a course design, development, SEO, and how to package that into a remote worker. Like, you could travel and work anywhere in the world. So I made that course because I had basically been working like that for a few years, going from my home in New Jersey down to Costa Rica and living down there for between 3 to 8 months a year. And I did that for about 3 or 4 years. And I kept getting asked by all my friends, like, how are you doing this? What do? Do you just go down there? You just surf and do nothing all day? It's like, no, I'm working. Like, I'm building all these things. Like, I built all these hotels, websites, and in finance, when I first left New Jersey to go down to Costa Rica, so I think a lot of immediate friends, didn't even think I could build websites. So, it was something that I kind of noticed. It wasn't more of a question, why are you doing this? But it was, hey, how are you doing this? I want to learn how to do this too. So like I started up a little digital nomad meetup in New York City, and I got some more input from people in the community that are kind of trying to look to do the same thing. It's on traveldeveloper.com. And I'm going to continue to build upon that, because after the first iteration, there's a few different things that, you know, people have told me, oh, hey, I already know how to do this, and but I need to know a little bit more about this in particular. So I think that's been what I've been focusing on in the past few weeks, months, is kind of narrowing it down into exactly what people want.
Paring down, finding the knowledge gaps in, say, cohorts by curriculum, let's say, of customers, exactly what it is that they need. That's cool.
Yeah, it's super hard. It's, I think, something you only learn by, you know, iterating on products that you make. It's hard to just know out of nowhere. You can do as much research as you want, but you'll find it very quickly if you put a product out. Hear the screams.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so how long ago was it that you launched the Kickstarter?
So the Kickstarter, I think that launched in maybe December or January, and I had launched the course in March. So I spent about a month working on the Kickstarter campaign, like researching influencers and people that could, you know, help me out to making a course on like how to be a digital nomad. And it was actually a lot harder than I found, because it seems everyone in the digital nomad industry won't help each other out, just to give a blast out. Everybody wanted.
Yeah, for sure.
$50. Like, hey, come on, I'm trying to, you know, give some great content to people for a very fair price. All I want is a little blast for like helping out the community that you care about. But no, some people are deep in the financial side of this business.
Yeah, for sure. I would imagine you're familiar with maybe this isn't his actual last name, but I always call him Peter Levels.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And that guy, yeah, that guy is like, in my mind, an epitome of nomad, you know, lifestyle. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's a tight knit group, but
it is a tight knit group, and
yeah.
I would say to anyone just trying to jump in real quick to definitely join his, I don't know if you're on the Slack channel he has, but I think it's like $100 for basically a group of like 8,000 digital nomads, and you can see where everyone's at the moment. It's really great for finding good spots with Wi-Fi or teaming up with people or even finding work.
So, like you say, those resources, the Slack channel, great for things like finding good Wi-Fi in your area, so on and so forth. But do you find belonging to communities like that, or whether it's Peter's or someone else, do you find solutions to some of the problems you face with your business hanging around those communities?
Yeah, I would say more on the lifestyle side of it, not so much business-wise. I think business, business you kind of have to figure out yourself, or I don't know if it's just me personally, but I've kind of looked at more mainstream icons or, you know, ways to do business in that sense. But I think the Nomad List and other like Facebook groups that I'm a part of definitely help out with the lifestyle part of being a digital nomad, because, you know, it's fairly a new concept, even though people have been trying to do it since, you know, the age of tech, but it's really becoming prevalent now across the world.
Awesome.
Everyone's, I think, trying to push their limits too, like being in the Maldives at the moment. You won't find the Maldives on Nomad list, but like you find in these groups, people will relate to you and stuff like, hey, go, don't use this telephone service provider, use another one. You can easily find it's cheap data, and you can easily tether to your computer and, you know, anywhere in the country.
Maybe then, in a vicarious way, if you can solve those other problems and free up some time to think more on the problems you face in your own business, I suppose that is health.
Absolutely.
That's cool. That's awesome. I'd like to ask you about your tech choices. Do you have a language or a platform, or when it comes to the tech that, well, that you teach as a part of your business, but also the tech that you're using to build your business, what do you go to?
Well, for the travel developer course, I'm using just my website's on WordPress, and then the teaching platform I use is Teachable. And that I'm teaching design with Sketch, basic HTML, CSS, JavaScript, a little PHP with WordPress, and then SEO. And that's kind of what I'm teaching, but I've actually kind of gotten past websites. Basically, as a freelancer, I've felt the pressure of all the do-it-yourself website builders. For a lot of the clients I get, you know, are that mid-range amount of money. They've just found, you know, using Squarespace or Wix or Weebly or something, they can get their own website done, which, you know, is never as good as a custom built website. So I've kind of moved over into iOS, and I've been strictly using strictly developing for iOS with Swift. That's actually what I built this Maldives Wellshark Research program out in.
You know, you can build things without having to think of a multitude of these edge cases that you might have to consider building something on the front end, you know? He says it's so nice to not have to worry about dirty CSS hacks and so on and so forth. So
yeah,
that's a verbose way of me asking you, how do you if there's a language?
I mean, everything you said is kind of spot on. And a friend who's an Android developer, and I actually used to use Android and fairly actually Mac products within the past, I guess, 4 years. But, I was kind of in the mindset of that the tech world is better than to all different ways. As far as developing the whole ecosystem of using Xcode, Swift is, just beautiful, easy. I mean, like 10 times easier than JavaScript language. So, everything I feel like I would make apps, I could pump out an app like every month by myself. And that's like with design, using like the storyboards within Xcode, you can, everything's kind of very seamlessly thought of to work together.
Yeah.
It really makes creating apps very simple.
Yeah, I think the Apple ecosystem is a very powerful example of when a protocol is developed and adhered to, like genuinely, that constraint turns into an absolute advantage. Like, just in sheer productivity and in so many ways. So yeah, that's awesome. That's how I felt coming to Python relative okay. to JavaScript. You know, JavaScript was awesome, but Python was concrete and reliable, again, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what you're getting. It's nice to have that background behind you. Hey, Kyle, you there?
Yeah. Like you just had your launch in March, reiterating and being the right pockets of knowledge for your audience. What's this like in 5 years for you? What do you hope it to be, and why? What's driving you?
What's driving me? I'm very addicted to surfing, so. I was working at Jet.com, the startup, before I chose to hop onto this lifestyle full time. And yeah, I had a lot of a promise of a good paycheck and some good stock options as well. But I didn't really care. I knew that I could work pretty much anywhere in the world, so. I've been kind of onto some surf spots, and I'm actually trying to put together a little remote working trip around the world that's focused on surf locations. So I don't know if you know of some programs like WeRoam or...
Yes, I have seen WeRoam, actually.
Yeah, so basically they're... groups, small groups of teams, like 30 people, and you'll go on either 3, 6, or 12 month trips where you spend 1 month in a digital nomad hub city and just work and live and experience a new culture there. It's almost like a sabbatical for some people, but to continue working. Because I think our generation is kind of change with the idea of I don't know, I don't have a lot of friends that like to just like take vacations and do nothing anymore. We're a little bit, we're okay with working all the time. We just want to do work that we're actually enjoying.
Yeah, absolutely. I think generations like ours it's a frontier that we literally have control over, at least as of today. So if we take that vacation and simply laze around and, you know, I think of all-inclusive type trips, right? And so you burn that time and you come back, and we like you're saying, like our generation, we have this after of what am I now better off in doing? What have I learned? Where am I now versus that week ago, right? And we realize that sometimes we spend our time without getting much value, sort of like just burning money away, right? Yeah,
kind of aimlessly walking through life.
Yeah, that's awesome. So surfing is the cornerstone of your pursuits, eh?
Yeah, I think so. I grew up by the ocean. I've always, you know, always been associated with ocean life. And yeah, I went back and got that job at Jet, and I thought that was, it was like everything I thought I wanted and more. I went through one winter back in New Jersey, didn't really surf, and I was like, yeah, nope, that's it. I just know 100% what I want to do. And it's a great feeling when you really, you have that clarity in your head of what you want to do.
That's awesome. I've never surfed. It's something I'd like to try to do. I grew up sailing.
Okay.
I've been in Nova Scotia my whole life. Like yourself, I've all. In on the Atlantic. Sailing. Can't wait. Or always been a boat. But I'll have to pick up some surfing and join your trap remote.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Still, yeah. I think that'll be the market, you know, looking to surf. I think people that already know how to surf are more inclined to pick the trip up on their own and figure it out themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to get some surfing chops and join up one time, but
yeah, I think I got some friends in Nova Scotia too that surf up there, so nice. Yeah, put you in contact.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. All right, Phil. Well, I seriously enjoyed today. I appreciate you spending some time with me, and
for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again sometime.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on, Kyle.
Cheers, Phil. All the best.